Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for YOU. So y'all come on in so we can get ready Bible study on this holiday.
Absolutely. It's going to be a brief study tonight, but we praise God. Let us know you're getting a clear signal and that you can hear and see us as we prepare for this time together tonight. Probably about 35, 40 minutes, Lady Kim. And then we're going to let people get back to what they were doing before. But it's always good to take time out to give God praise and to give him honor and glory and just to recognize that he's worthy even on a holiday. Isn't that right?
Amen. Yes, he is.
You know, it sounded kind of strange hearing somebody say Happy Labor Day. I was kind of like, well, all right, Happy Labor Day to you too, you know. But that's not one of those kind of holidays, in my opinion. But, you know, I don't have a problem with people wishing me a happy Labor Day. Because hope you got some rest today. I hope you just kind of relaxed and, like Lady Kim, didn't do nothing all day. But that's part of what this day is all about. A lot of people find an opportunity to give back and to, you know, help in the community and to help those who are struggling. And so we just kind of took it easy today. I did all of the cooking, by the way, today. And you know, it was delicious. Why are you looking at me like that?
You did all of the cooking?
Yeah, outside.
You grilled. Didn't do all of the cooking.
I said outside.
You made greens?
No.
Did you make macaroni and cheese?
No, ma'am.
Did you make baked beans?
No.
Did you make potatoes?
I tasted all of that. But I had no hand in trying to prepare.
You did all the cooking.
I said outside.
Yeah, okay. You grilled. You got down, though, on the chicken and hot dogs and hamburgers. And you did your thing.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
So let us know you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming in. We won't be on long tonight. This is going to be an abbreviated time. But we are in the second chapter of Numbers, and we're going to lift up. We have quite a few prayer requests and bereavements before us as a church, and we're going to lift those up and then just talk a little bit about our service on yesterday. And so those of you who are joining us, let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. We thank you for sustaining us, and we thank you for looking beyond our faults and getting right to our needs. We know you to be a present help in our time of trouble, and you promised in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said you'd be with us always, even until the end. And so, God, we know that we can always count on you, for your promises are sure and your satisfaction is guaranteed. So God, even as we prepare to gather around your word tonight, we know that something is going to happen in our spirit, man. Our faith is going to increase because you said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we believe, dear Lord, that somebody is going to be better as a result of stopping by this time together on this Monday, Labor Day, day weekend. Well, it's Labor Day, so we give you praise for that. So we bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Somebody give God amen. A thumbs up or a heart and let us know that you're in agreement with that prayer for tonight. Well, Lady Kim, we're going to jump right in. Of course, in my opinion, every Sunday is a power-packed Sunday at ATOP. Mm-hmm. And God rest in the room, and we don't speak and take that for granted or lightly. It's nothing that we have been able to do or accomplish. We know it's all because of the grace of God that we're able to be sustained in ministry and that the Lord is still adding to the church daily, such as should be saved.
Amen.
Tell us a little bit about what you were able to hear as a result of the sermon on yesterday.
Well, of course, we had the sermon title or topic that you've been preaching on, and that's the topic of sacrifice.
Okay.
And so you continued with that theme about sacrifice, but your sermon title was we bring the sacrifice of praise from Psalms, the 107th chapter, verses 1 through 8, and then you skip down to verse number 22.
Right.
So it was an awesome time in the Lord. I just want to read those few verses just for a minute.
All right.
Where Psalm 107, 1 through 8, shout praises to the Lord. He is good to us and his love never fails. Everyone the Lord has rescued from trouble should praise him. Everyone he has brought from the east and the west, the north and the south. Some of you were lost in the scorching desert far from a town. You were hungry and thirsty and about to give up. You were in serious trouble, but you prayed to the Lord and he rescued you. At once he brought you to a town. You should praise the Lord for his love and for the wonderful things he does for all of us. And then verse 22 says, you should celebrate by offering sacrifices and singing joyful songs to tell what he has done. And so you had lifted up three key points that you really talked about. And I flipped off of it. The three key points that you talked about, I think your sacrifice, your three key points were: one, he helped in our wandering; number two, he has healed our wounds; and number three, he has heard our words. Helped our wandering, healed our wounds, and heard our words. And some of the things you said that is that our sacrifice has not gone unnoticed by God.
That's right. That's
right. You know, some of us have sacrificed greatly throughout our lives. And so our sacrifice has not gone unnoticed. He is pleased when we give him thanks and praise. Okay. So God expects us to give him praise and thanksgiving. When we acknowledge God for all that he has done in our lives, then we show our appreciation to God for all that he has done. And God is pleased with that. And we bring our bodies as a sacrifice. You know, the Bible says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice,
right,
holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. It's important to do that. And we need to give thanks for the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy exists in abundance. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. And we need to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let us say that he is good. God is good. Let us say he is good because his mercy endures forever. And then verse 22 is a call for us to be intentional about giving praises to something valuable. Praise is something valuable to the Lord. So let us make an effort to give praises to God. You know, a lot of us can come to church Sunday after Sunday, week after week, and just sit there like a bump on the log. But I dare somebody to give God some praise,
thank
the praise
you, God,
in which he is due, and watch God work miracles in your life.
That's right.
Gratitude is central for our worship to God, and that we have to offer the sacrifice of praise in the house of the Lord. Offering sacrifice entails sacrifice.
That's right.
You know, sometimes we just don't feel like giving God praise. So we have to move beyond our feelings and begin to praise God. The psalmist documents the goodness of God.
Okay.
You know, there are some places where we can rest and other places where there is no rest, but we need to continue to give God praise.
Wow. Those are some powerful notes right there. Thank you. You were really into the word on yesterday and taking notes, and that I might need you to send that to me just in case I get ready to do a part two, because I only got to one of my points. And you know, it's important for us to understand that even when we were lost and when we were out there drifting and wandering and trying to figure it out, God was carrying us. And, you know, it's amazing how sometimes when we come out of a situation we fail to recognize that it was nobody but God who made a way.
Through.
That's right.
He carried us through.
And so we have to always honor him. And not only with, you know, he is the ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. We are clear on that. But when we think of his goodness and all he's done for us, then as Romans tell us, the least that we can do is to present our bodies uh-huh. as living sacrifices.
Living sacrifices.
Holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. Mm-hmm. That's the least that we can do. That's Amen. Our reasonable form of worship, is to present our bodies. And so we don't just come to church to sit and look and, you know, gaze and not give God praise. When we look back, as I said yesterday, in the rearview mirror of our experiences and how the Lord rescued us, then we ought to muster up enough inside of us to offer a sacrifice of praise.
Amen.
And I tell you, you know, even when you don't feel like it, sometimes when those kind of sacrifices happen, it does something and gives you a boost, and it helps you recognize that you don't have to let your situation, and I say this oftentimes, or your location obscure your destination. You don't have to let what you're going through keep your mind off where you're going to. So you have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give God praise.
Amen.
You didn't bring yourself. It was nobody but God.
Nobody but God.
And so we thank him today, and we exalt and we lift him up.
Yes.
And we yet give him praise. And so we're thankful for the God that we serve. And the least that we can do is present our bodies as living sacrifices. And then to present to him a sacrifice of praise.
Amen. Yeah. And you did just get to that first point, that he helps in our wandering. And, you know, when we're out there in the world, we're drifting.
Yeah.
We're wandering. We're going here, we're going there, we're looking here, we're looking there, we're looking into this, we're just going with the flow. And God has always been there. And one thing that I think the reason why you only got to your first point is you said, you know, tell the Lord thank you, I got out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
I got
right,
out.
Right, right.
And somebody posted that on Facebook yep. and read, I got out.
I got out.
Aren't you glad you got out?
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad you found the Lord
rescued.
Jesus Christ and that he rescued you when you were deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore? I got out. And I thank God that I got out
and I found
Jesus. And Jesus knows me. And hallelujah, we can run on to see what the end will be. So he helps us in our wandering. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All the while I was wandering, I was running into folks who were speaking into my spirit. I had people praying for me and lifting me up. Even when I didn't have sense enough to pray for myself, he had other people interceding on my behalf and looking out for me in my wandering spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so we praise God that he rescued us. And there are so many people out there that need to know that God is able. Mm-hmm. The Bible says to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think.
That's right.
And so when we looked at that 50th Psalm the week before, we talked about how God says the sacrifice that really pleases him is that you show thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and then that you keep his word.
Amen.
God says that's the sacrifice that I love. And if we could do that, I tell you, it won't be a problem for you to render praise that's due mm-hmm. his holy name. Would you agree with me on
that's
that?
That's right. That's right. And I think that that verse is that if we keep our word, our
mm-hmm.
word to
right,
God.
Right, right.
If we keep our word. So, you know, when we promise God something, he's counting on us to keep our word. Because guess what? God is going to keep his word.
That's right. That's right.
You know, he's not like man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So he's looking for us to keep our word.
Okay. Okay. So that's just a brief recap from yesterday in terms of the sermon. And somebody saying something there. I can't see it. What a... Is that Dr. Qualis?
Dr. Qualis said, Pastor, you could do a part two on the first point alone. We are out here in these streets and we are just so lost. I got out.
I got out.
Yeah.
That's good. Hallelujah. That's good. That's a title right there.
Yeah, I got out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody type that in the margin.
It's already
in the comment.
In there. I got out. But
God brought you out. God delivered you.
But God.
Then you ought to tell somebody. Don't
Hallelujah.
Keep it to yourself.
Thank
because
you today, God.
All of us have a history, isn't that right?
That's right.
All of us have overcome something.
Yes, Lord.
And we didn't do it by ourselves.
That's right.
There was nobody but God. And you got out. You're clothed in your right mind. You have the activity of your limbs.
Hallelujah.
You're in the house of God. That's
Thank
what we
you,
were talking
Jesus.
About yesterday. And we come in and we sit and we soak and we sour. But we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to give him praise.
And so we
hope that you will acknowledge God in everything that you do and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says all of these other things shall be added unto us.
Amen.
So we give him praise even today.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
And just saying I got out is a praise to
That's
God.
Right. That's
you
right.
You know? You didn't get out by yourself.
That's it.
But God.
That's
God
it.
Brought us out. God helps us to see our way through. And so we just thank God. That's why we can shout from the rooftops, I got out. Because we're thankful that we got out. Because if I hadn't gotten out, I know I wouldn't be here today.
That's it.
I
That's
know
it.
I wouldn't be alive today. Because I was on the fast track to hell.
Were you running, right?
I was on the fast track to hell.
You don't
Amen.
Want me to tell them about how you were
well,
when
you
I met
can't, you.
You
can't talk about me without talking about yourself.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah,
See,
right.
You was waiting on that, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, you right.
Yes, Lord.
We were running hard.
Hard. Running in the wrong direction.
Nobody but
you
God.
You know what? But when God called you and when mm-hmm. he called me, we start running to him and running towards him and running for him. And we haven't stopped running since.
That's right.
So
That's
now,
it.
You know, we still dancing. We just changed partners.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. We used to dance for the devil, but now we're dancing for the Lord. And God, we thank you on today.
Hallelujah. All right.
Yes.
Well, that was great. That was
yeah.
great. And so the Lord added a new member yesterday.
Glory to
and
God.
And another person that's going to be baptized.
Hallelujah.
And so we're excited about that. And we were going to recognize our new members, but things just kind of just took off there. And
yes.
we forgot to recognize them. But we praise God for what he's doing in at that corner right there on Riverdale and Birch Run and how The glory of the Lord is
yeah.
in the room. And
Hallelujah.
We praise God for the people of God.
Hallelujah.
We're undergoing some major renovations. But, you know, I was telling you the other day, Lady Kim, and even though the numbers are not where we think they should in terms of those who are responding, I'm trusting God, and I believe God is going to make a way somehow.
Yes, he will.
I believe God is going to give us more than enough.
Hallelujah.
Because he knows our hearts. He knows the sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
And he understands that we're doing this not for selfish reasons, but we're doing it to glorify and to build up the kingdom.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm particular about things around the church and people understanding that, you know, and so I have a spirit about me that I want to honor God in everything that we do and not allow just anything to happen in the house or not have the house looking any kind of way when
Amen.
People come.
Amen.
Because that says a lot about who you are when people are coming for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They can just look at the environment. They can get a sense of the people's spirit and how people treat them. And even before I get up to open my mouth to preach, it's already evident that this is the right place that I need to be because I feel good about what God is doing.
A standard has been set.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
A standard has been set. And you set a standard of excellence in the house of God. And so we try to present things in an excellent manner. And, you know, the word excellent is you know, means something different to everybody. It's not definable. I heard
But when you
Reverend
see
Gunn
it,
mm-hmm. say this, that excellence is not definable, but it's distinguishable.
Wow.
Yes, it's not
you
definable.
You went way back and pulled that one.
But
up.
It's distinguishable.
That's right.
See, when your excellence might be different from my excellence.
Right, right.
But one thing about it, when you see excellence,
you know
excellence.
You know it.
You know it's a good thing.
That's right.
Amen. So excellence is distinguishable. But you can't define it because everybody's definition of excellent.
That's good.
What you see, you might say something is excellent. I say, no, baby, you ain't seen this over here.
Right,
this is
right,
excellent
right
here.
Right, right.
So
but
that's
when you
why.
See it,
when
you
see it, you know it.
Mm-hmm.
You say, that's it right there. That's
can't define
excellent.
It, but it's distinguishable.
It's distinguishable.
Wow.
That's good.
That's good.
Good.
Yeah, you said a mouthful.
Hallelujah. Thank
you better
you,
write
Jesus.
That down now. Because
no, I won't remember.
Yeah.
You'll say, what did you say about
right,
excellence?
Right,
I said,
right.
Because
you went way back on that
yes,
one.
Yes, yes.
That was back in 2012 or somewhere around there.
It's been a long time
yeah,
ago. But
yeah.
Anyway, we need to move on
because right.
we got a Bible study.
Yeah,
to
but it's going to be abbreviated
yeah,
study.
Yeah, it'll be brief because it's really simple.
Right,
it's
right.
simple, but it's profound
right.
on tonight.
Right,
we're in the book of Numbers.
That's right, the
second chapter.
That's right.
Second chapter in the book of Numbers. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Hopefully you've already read the second chapter of Numbers. It's pretty clear cut, and we're going to go through that briefly on tonight.
Okay, because we see that tribal organization is being established,
mm-hmm.
that significant positions in the tribe. Well, let's just get a little history on what's happening here before we start trying to identify some of the keys in this second chapter. I think that'll help.
Yeah, and with some of the things that are happening, first of all, we like to look at who are the key players
right,
in the
right,
chapter.
Right.
You know, first, this chapter is attributed to who?
Moses.
To Moses.
Right.
This chapter, Numbers, the book of Numbers, is attributed to Moses. And the characters in the book of Numbers are the Israelites or
mm-hmm.
the Hebrews, which have come out of Egypt, which have come out of slavery, come out of bondage. Remember, they had to flee from Pharaoh. And now they are in the wilderness,
right.
wandering in the wilderness. So we have the Hebrews, the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they had been granted their freedom. God had granted them their freedom after several hundred years of slavery in Egypt. They were traveling through the wilderness to the promised land that God had promised them, the land of Canaan. And then we have Moses, and Moses was selected by God to lead the Israelites to Canaan. And God spoke directly to Moses, and then Moses communicated what God said to him to the people.
Right.
And
right.
then lastly, the key player in the book of Numbers is Aaron, Moses' brother. And he was a Levite, a high priest over the nation of Israel. And remember, we talked about the Levites. Now, there was a tribe called Levi. And the Levites were responsible for the holy things. And from the tribe of Levites, there were the high priests or the priests.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the priests had to come from the tribe of Levi.
Okay.
But not all Levites were priests. Okay?
That's good.
So, but they had responsibilities.
They had powerful responsibilities.
They had, and we're going to see.
Awesome responsibilities.
We're going to see some of these responsibilities here in this second chapter of Numbers. And then we talked about the difference between Leviticus and Numbers. Remember, we just came out of the book of Leviticus, and Leviticus covers about 1 month's length of time,
mm-hmm.
whereas the book of Numbers covers almost 40 years. Almost 40 years. And remember, it's covering the time in which the Israelites wandered, there's that word again,
that is.
Wandered in the wilderness. And can you believe they wandered for 40 years?
40 years.
And guess how
on
long?
A journey that could have took.
They could have took 11 days.
And that's
11 days that journey should have taken them. But it took them 40 years.
God had to kill off a whole generation for them to get an opportunity to see what he was trying to get them to see. And sometimes even in our wandering, you know, we get mixed up and we start following the wrong thing and the wrong person, and it takes us longer to get to the place that God has destined for us because we have not surrendered our all to Him.
Amen.
So that's a word for somebody here tonight. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if you're going around in circles, mm-hmm. and you're not making any progress year in and year out. Mm-hmm. You feel depleted and you feel as if, you know, you're void on the inside. It's because perhaps you haven't surrendered mm-hmm. your total self and your total spirit man to the will of God.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And those who rebelled against God did not get to see the promised land.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, Moses did not make it to the promised land. You know, and it wasn't because of Moses' rebellion, but he stayed out in the wilderness with them hard-headed, knuckle-headed folks.
Uh-oh.
He was leading. Watch out now. So God had to allow generations of people to die off before they could enter into the land of Canaan, which was promised to them. And so, you know, according to the book of Leviticus, and we're going to see this next week in Numbers, the third chapter, the first verse, the Israelites were camped in the wilderness of Sinai, near Mount Sinai.
Right, right.
So they're in the wilderness of Sinai. So that's where all of this takes place.
And so I think the title of this particular book really gives away what is inside of the book,
mm-hmm.
because we started out last week with the census.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right.
And
the numbering of all the tribes.
Absolutely.
All those 20 men, 20 years old, that were able to go, and older, that were able to go to war.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, after they were sectioned off, then God pulled out of each tribe a leader that would be representative of the tribe and speak on their behalf, and they would hear the word and share it with those in their particular tribe. There were 12 tribes, but as you said earlier, only 11 of those tribes were counted.
Mm-hmm.
But the Levites, the tribe of Levi, they were given specific orders and responsibilities. And we saw that in last week's study, where they had major temple responsibility, and they were the ones who were carrying all of the setup material,
the tents, and all of the tables and all of the things that they used for worship,
right,
in the tabernacle.
So they have to break down and set up.
Yes,
and they would have to put everything in a certain order that was described by God.
And they had to do things in a certain order also.
And they had to stand in the watch.
Stand watch. And that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be part of it.
The structure of how the camp was set up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the organizational structure. We see the significance of position. And I believe God is going to speak a word to us in relevance to how all of this applies to us, because not only do we see the significance of position, we also see the importance of community unity.
Hmm.
That's going to come out of here. And then how there should be order in our lives and there should be structure. One of the things we talk about with our leaders when we have our leadership meetings, we meet every first Saturday, unless there's a funeral or something else that throws that off. But all of those who went through our Institute of Leadership training, we asked them about vision and mission. What's your vision? What's your mission? If you don't know it, then pray about it. Ask God to give it to you. And then write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very difficult for you to follow the vision and the mission of the house if you are not following a particular vision and mission for your own life.
Amen.
Understanding how important that is in terms of moving forward and being on one accord and doing what pleases God.
Amen. So order and structure is important.
Right, right.
It's imperative. So I like that word when you said community, unity, because if you look at that word community, the ending of it is unity. Mm-hmm. So come unity, community, the collective gathering showcases the unity among the diverse tribes.
Right.
You know.
They had to work together.
They had to. Yes.
But all of them were not the same, right? They all had different, personalities, different skill sets, different things that they brought to the table. But there had to be a common denominator in order for them to accomplish the mission that God had set before them. And you really can't have community without unity.
Amen.
You can't even spell it without including unity in community.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And so the importance of numbers, highlights the communal identity of these tribes.
Okay, all right. And so then we also see, Lady Kim, that this is a breakdown that as we've tried to make this apply to us, we have to recognize God's presence among us even as we strive to fulfill those things that he has assigned to our hearts and hands to do. And then we have to be prepared for battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really is the problem, not so much a problem, but it's a thing that has to be overcome, because the enemy is not going to give up, nor is he going to take a break because it's Labor Day.
Hmm.
He's going to continue to come and try to steal, kill, and destroy that which God has given you. And when you're not prepared for the spiritual battle, then many times you fall apart and the enemy takes advantage of you, and you find yourself flustered and trying to figure out how to get back on track. But you have to stay spiritually prepared for that which will happen. You know, even though you may have just completed a victory in the battle, or you just overcome, you celebrated the victory that God has allowed you to achieve, there are still more battles, there are still more struggles spiritually that you're going to have to overcome. Each victory will help you some other to win.
Amen.
And we can't let our guard down, mm-hmm. but we have to continue to be steadfast in our preparation and doing what pleases him.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And so, you know, the order for the camp of Israel that God has designed, God, of course, gave Moses specific instructions as to how the Israelites were supposed to set up their camp in relation to the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was also called the tent of meetings.
All right.
You know, it was where the Ark of the Covenant was housed.
That's right.
And within that Ark of the Covenant, we know, set the Ten Commandments, the tablets that contain the Ten Commandments.
Right.
But we'll get into that at a later date. But the order in which it was set up, and I'll try to set it up so you can understand, you know, the north, the south, the east, and the west side. The people of each tribe were to camp together surrounding the tabernacle on every side.
Right.
So if you think about it in your mind's eye, think about a bullseye. And right in the center of that bullseye is the tabernacle.
Okay.
Or the tent of meeting, or God's house. And then surrounding it on the east side, there were three tribes.
Okay.
All right. On the east side of that red bullseye, there were three tribes: Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And when the camp of Israel moved, these three tribes were the ones who set out first.
Mm.
This is according, we're summarizing Numbers, the second chapter. These three tribes, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, were on the east side, and whenever the camp moved, they moved out first.
So Judah means?
Judah means?
Praise.
Praise. Hallelujah.
Sacrifice of praise.
Yes.
So they were rendering the praise and the exhortation to encourage those who were coming behind them.
Amen.
And you know how it is in the house of the Lord even today. The tone is set in the house by the praise and the worship and the prayers and the adoration and the thanksgiving to God. And so this is not something new. This is what they were doing back then.
Amen.
They had this tribe specifically leading in the praise and elevation of getting people motivated mm-hmm. for the task that was before them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I love that about how God is an orderly God.
He's strategic, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And then on the south side of the tabernacle,
Said that south side with a little bit
south
more
south side
with a little bit more umph to it, Reverend.
South side, y'all know I'm from Chi-Town now. But anyway, to the south of the tabernacle were the camps of Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. And then when the camp of Israel moved, these tribes were the second set of tribes to move out. Okay. That was a Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. And after the tribes to the east and the south set out, the Levites followed them with the tabernacle. So six tribes set out, then the tabernacle mm-hmm. with the Levites. Mm-hmm. The Levites were the priests and the people of the tribe of Levi who were to
prepare, set up,
and keep the tabernacle straight,
right,
so to
right.
speak.
They had to have it. They had to carry it a certain way, and it had to be according to the what we read in Leviticus
right.
in terms of how they were to present the tabernacle as they carried it.
Amen. And so the Levite camp surrounded the tabernacle on every side.
That's right.
As they moved the tabernacle out. As they went to the west of the tabernacle were the camps of Ephraim, Gad, and Benjamin. And when the camp of Israel moved, these tribes were the third set behind the Levites.
Okay.
Okay.
That's then, nine tribes right there, right?
That's nine tribes.
Okay.
And then when the camp of Israel moved, these tribes were to bring up the rear of but to the north of the tabernacle okay. were the camps of Dan, Asher,
right.
and Naphtali.
Right. Right.
And when that camp of Israel moved, these tribes were to bring up the rear of the caravan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you can see, when they said the pillar of fire by night mm-hmm. and the cloud by day, when God told the Israelites to move, to pack up, they no longer had that pillar of fire by night, but they were to leave when they were to leave by day.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the order in which
that's
they were
the
supposed
order.
To go.
Okay.
Six tribes went first, the Levites surrounding the tabernacle next. And then the last six tribes would go out. And if you think about it, there's protection
right,
on
all
every
around.
Side. Uh-huh. The protection of God's house. And that's significant.
It is.
How we need to protect the house of God.
Wow.
God's house has become so desecrated these days. People do anything now. There was a time where an alcoholic wouldn't even sit on the front steps of the church. Okay, it was just that holy,
mm-hmm.
and now people do anything and everything, you know. And
yeah.
so we need to get back to protecting the house of God.
That's good. That's good. Well, Lady Kim, this is an abbreviated study.
Mm-hmm.
I see you getting all excited and everything, and I'm trying to. I need to put a little water on your forehead.
No, you don't.
You gonna drink some?
Okay. I'll calm down.
All right, calm down, because you're on fire over there. But, you know, this is an exciting time. And the key to us, even though we're reading an Old Testament book, Numbers, one of the first five books of the Bible, even though we're reading their experiences from what happened back then, there is a lesson and an application
absolutely
for us even today. And God will not go without a witness, and he wants us to learn from the examples of those who have gone before us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you try to start embracing everything that's happening here in this second chapter and say, well, Pastor and Dr. Murray, Lady Kim, what's in this for me? Well, we have to learn how to, first of all, to embrace unity mm-hmm. among diverse members.
Ah, that's because good.
12 tribes, there was a whole lot of diversity, and there was a whole lot of things that were happening, you know, differently than would be happening in your tribe. Mm-hmm. And so they had to learn how to embrace that. And then they had to aim toward fulfilling God's promises. And in order for that to happen, there must be unity among those who are trying to accomplish that which God has set before them.
Amen. Amen. And then we have to walk confidently together.
Confidently.
Towards what God has promised us.
That's right.
We have a land of promise.
That
He's promised us.
That's right.
And we have to walk confidently towards what God has promised us. Atop, God has promised us.
He's promised us.
And we need to walk with integrity.
That's right.
And confidence towards what it is that He's calling us for.
And He who has begun a good work in us, here it is. He's well able to bring it to a flourishing finish. So if God said He would do a thing, then it shall come to pass.
Absolutely.
That's why even with this renovation campaign that we're having, Lady Kim, I believe God is going to show up significantly. Mm-hmm. And He's never left without a witness. And somebody is going to really respond in a big way. I mean, all of us are making a genuine sacrifice to help and assist. This is over and above the tithes and offerings. And we praise God for that. But I believe God is going to show up, and He's going to show Himself strong, and somebody is going to hear the voice of God, and they're going to respond, and they might
Thank
not
you,
even
Lord.
Know exactly Hallelujah. What they're doing. Mm-hmm. But God is going to speak to them to sow into ATOP, and their life is going to change, and it's going to better what we're trying to do in accomplishing the things of God.
Amen. That's good stuff.
All right. Well, that's about it for tonight, Reverend.
Yes.
We have a lengthy prayer request order already in place from those who are going through bereavements in the life of the church. But if you have a prayer request that you want us to pray for, we're getting ready to close out. We want to make sure that you lift that up and list it. There's information there and on the comment section from Dr. Quali Seymour that will direct you to those of you who are perhaps interested in sowing into the ministry. We praise God for your sacrifice of your giving and your sacrifice of praise. And so if you want to sow into the ministry, we welcome that. We have a tremendous outreach ministry, and I tell you, you know, it was a different feeling when we ran out of food and people were lined up last Sunday before last, and we could not assist them in their effort. And they were looking kind of disappointed, and I was too. But that's not going to ever happen again. We hope that it doesn't. I can't say it won't ever happen again, but we hope and pray that it doesn't, because I believe we're going to have more than enough.
More than enough.
That we're going to have to circle back around mm-hmm. and find some more people that are in need. Because when you get out there on those streets, and you start looking and you see people, I mean, it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
How so many people are struggling and less fortunate, and we take for granted mm-hmm. so much of what we have. Mm-hmm. And then we ask for a sacrifice, and we don't really want to sacrifice to God when God was the ultimate sacrifice that we are enjoying what we're having. And so I just hope and pray that God will continue to move upon the hearts. We're grateful. Don't get me wrong now. We're grateful for how people are stepping up and how people are running toward this challenge. They're not running away from it. But we believe that there's so many more that God is going to speak to, in terms of helping and assisting with this effort.
Amen. Amen. And on Sunday, we had some difficulty with our Cash App. Mm-hmm. So it is up and running. So if you were unable to give on Sunday due to the glitch in Cash App, it's up and running now. So please don't neglect giving of your tithes and offerings and even to the capital campaign if you can do that via Cash App. And let's mention our prayer request. You can submit your prayer request online. I will not be able to see them online, but there is an online link there in the chat. So if you would click on that. I can't see them right now, but when I get off of this, then I will be able to. So we want to lift up Sister LaShondria Kimmons in the passing of her aunt, Mary Elizabeth Ingram Harmon. That funeral was on last Friday. We want to lift up Dr. Carolyn Butler in the loss of her cousin, Earlene Johnson. That funeral was on last Friday in East St. Louis, Illinois. We want to lift up Brother George Shoulders in the loss of his sister Elizabeth Shoulders. That funeral was held on yesterday in Hermanville, Mississippi. We want to lift up Sister Jessie Bradley in the loss of her sister-in-law, Henrietta Johnson. That funeral will be this coming Friday at Center Chapel Missionary Baptist Church on Shelby Drive here in Memphis, Tennessee. We also want to lift up Sister Theron C. and Brother Norris C. and the loss of Sister Theron's father, James Robinson. That funeral will also be on this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock a.m. at New Dimension Salt and Light Ministry in Holly Springs, Mississippi. We also want to lift up Sister Dorothea Robinson in the loss, I think it's Robertson, Dorothea Robinson in the loss of her grandmother, Lily Davis. The funeral is Saturday also in Delray Beach, Florida. And last but not least, we want to lift up Brother Henry Williams in the loss of his brother, Frank Williams. That's also the uncle of Sister Lavonia Jones. And the services are incomplete at this time. So we lift up all these bereavements to you. We have several people who are on our sick and shut-in list. We're praying for Sister Shirley Williams. We're praying for Sister Lena Jackson. We're praying for Brother Daryl Taylor. We're praying for Sister, Sister Goodlow. Yes, Sister Lurleen Goodlow. We're praying for Sister Lakeisha Holiday.
Yeah.
Just had knee replacement surgery. We're lifting up Mother Roxy Breeze.
That's right.
And Mother Gracie Bradley. Lifting you all up in our prayers on tonight.
Sister Roxy's getting ready to celebrate her 95th birthday.
95 years old
on tomorrow.
So we wish her a happy, blessed birthday to Sister Roxy Briggs on her 95th birthday. What a blessing that is to see 95 years of life.
And we were out yesterday sharing communion with some of our sick and shut-in, those who were able to, receive it. And we sat and talked, and Sister Roxy is clothed in her right mind. She remembers well, and she remembers people and watches religiously on Sundays and on the prayer call every Wednesday, 95 years old. And so we praise God for that kind of commitment. Her daughter, Barbara Knight, of course, is a member, both of them are members of the church. But, you know, it's just like coming into somebody's house that's family. And we sat and talked for a minute and had prayer, had communion, just had a good time. Even got a plate of greens to bring home with me. The house was smelling so good when we walked in. Barbara was in the back cooking some greens, and they lit up the whole house. I didn't ask for them, but she called Lady Kim in the back and said, "Here, take Pastor some of these greens home and some cornbread." And I got home, and I didn't get but half of my greens, and I don't know what happened to the cornbread.
Oh, that that cornbread is still in the kitchen. All you didn't want, but it was good. It was good. I did eat a piece. It was good, and the greens were good, too. But after that, I came home. Those greens were smelling so good. I said, I need to go to Super Low and get some greens. So I cooked some greens for today. Those greens were smelling so good, and they were so good. So thank you, Sister Barbara. Thank you, Mother Roxy, and happy blessed birthday to you.
Absolutely. All right, Lady Kim, will you go ahead and close us out then with a word of prayer tonight as we prepare to see what God yet has in store. And thank each of you for being on tonight, those who are first-time visitors on this Monday night Manna Bible study. And we have two different platforms that we are broadcasting from, and we're certainly grateful for your participation, your continued support of what God is doing at Anointed Temple of Praise.
Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our hearts and minds and spirits to you in prayer tonight. Again, we want to thank you for this Bible study that reminds us, oh God, that we need to work together as the community of God in order to make ministry go forth. We thank you, oh God, for the people that you have assigned to Anointed Temple of Praise. God, we thank you for those who are coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, who are going to watch over and protect your tabernacle, who are going to give to your tabernacle, your temple, to make sure that things are done in decency and in order. We give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. Now, God, we lift up the bereaved to you today, for you heard the list, oh God, that went up on tonight. We thank you, oh God, that you are in the midst, even in the midst of our pain, you are there. So we ask, oh God, that you would take the hands and hearts of the bereaved and you would comfort them right now, God. And God, we lift up the sick to you, God, for they are many. And we ask, God, that you would go in and touch with your finger of love and heal those that need to be healed, oh God. Deliver those that need to be delivered. Set those free who need to be set free. And we thank you tonight, oh God, for all that you're doing at Anointed Temple of Praise. We lift up our pastor to you tonight, God. Continue to crown his head with wisdom and knowledge. And we ask, oh God, that you would continue to watch over and protect him, oh God, as he goes forth. We thank you for protecting him on tonight, oh God. And we ask that you would continue to watch over and keep him and every member that's attached to Anointed Temple of Praise, every minister and ministry attached to Anointed Temple of Praise, oh God. We ask that you allow us to go forth in the name of Jesus. Now, oh God, we pray that you will continue to be with us, stand by us, until we all meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
One more reminder, this coming Sunday is Grandparents Sunday. We're having goodies with grandparents at 8:30 a.m. during Sunday school time. So grandparents, grab those grandkids and bring them out to Sunday school so they can enjoy Sunday school class. Grandchildren, grab your grandparents and them out to school so they can enjoy adult Sunday school. All right. We thank you on tonight. God bless you. Rest from your labor. Have a wonderful Labor Day. Bye.
See you.